Here we are in the middle of the week once again for our dose of cannabis science, but actually we're going to take a detour off the scientific path and maybe take a little bit more look at history and literature and art. And joining us again is Dr. Mitch Earlywine from State University of New York at Albany. And Dr. Mitch, welcome back.
Happy to be on the show.
You know, I talk to Steve Bloom every Friday on the Celeb Stoner Report, and we were talking about the 2008 Stony Awards and how 2008 has kind of been a renaissance year in marijuana in films, with films like Pineapple Express and Harold and Kumar and The Whackness and so on. But you sent me an email, and I thought this was kind of an interesting topic, and that's the idea that this really isn't anything new, that even before the modern times, we have lots of references to cannabis and hashish throughout literature.
Oh, it's fun when you really take a close look at it. When you go back, basically ancient times in France, Rabelais in his book Gargantua and Pantagruel mentions cannabis as a treatment for horses and various problems that the horses may have, but also makes, you know, hints about it as a potential hallucinogen or insight advancer, if you will. And then by, the 1830s or so, French physician Jacques-Joseph Moreau, and I'm sorry if I'm, mutilating the French, got together a group that they called the Hashish Club, and it was basically a lot of literary performance artists, musicians, things like that, who got together once a month, and basically Jacques was their provider. He dished out the hash and basically watched everybody and wrote a book about it that actually got an award in France later on basically some insights he had about how cannabis might help the mentally ill.
Now, as far as other European countries, was there any sort of references in England or Shakespearean references or anything?
Well, it's curious because Shakespeare himself, nobody can actually point a finger at, but I think about, that time, if you were writing and saying anything positive about hemp, you were sort of putting yourself at risk for basically getting burned at the stake. Pope Pius VIII had basically decided that cannabis was one of the sacraments for the dark mass, so that this was only for evil witches. But some pipes that were discovered near where he lived were analyzed in South Africa, of all places, and found to have traces of cannabis inside. That's not necessarily proof that he smoked them, but there are, a few references he makes to dazzling, flamboyant, mysterious things that happened in his life that sort of make people think maybe he's somebody who had the opportunity to indulge, and it wasn't completely out of the question in that era. And then, other famous British, as we move into modern times, certainly Yeats was pretty candid about his experimenting with hashish. And
How about looking at like Alice in Wonderland and the caterpillar, for example?
Sure. So, I mean, here we have a giant character smoking a giant hookah.
Yeah.
I wonder if Lewis Carroll must have had a bong hit or two in order to inspire those large sections of how all that worked.
So, I think that was interesting, going back to what you said about Pope Pius and that time back then. So even back, is there like a pattern where we see the use of cannabis become demonized and then become accepted, or has it always been demonized? How does that go back through history as far as the...
It's interesting because it seems like we do this with all drugs. There's sort of all these strong prohibitions against something, and then usually the pinko artistic crowd ends up indulging in it and sort of disputing a lot of the myths. So in fact, all the way back in 100 BC, there was an Asian pharmacopoeia that said, watch out for cannabis because at high doses it will make you see evil spirits, which, I got to admit, with Dark Side of the Moon on and the lights out, that may be a possibility. But these prohibitions against it, of course, just sort of inspired some folks to use it. And then as we sort of work up through the 1800s. I mean, the Hashish Club, Baudelaire was there, Balzac, Dumas, Flaubert. I mean, all the big wigs of that era. And then what happens is funny is later in life, Baudelaire publishes a book loosely translated on the artificial ideal and sort of saying, oh, all my pot years were bad, and he sort of gets the big St. Augustine retribution and decides that no, things were bad back then. And it's funny how people sort of go back and forth in their lives in ways that are comparable to the way the entire society can kind of go back and forth. In the U.S., one of the first poems published that mentioned cannabis at all was by a guy named Greenleaf, and everybody laughs at me and says it couldn't possibly be true, but that really is the case. And then there are some references to it, Confessions of a Hashish Eater, that a lot of our listeners know about. And then, again, this sort of ebbing and flowing where people think it's great, and then they think it's the devil. And, of course, we, you know, discover that in our own lives, in fact, this is a substance that's really not something we have to worry about.
What do you think is the oldest literary or archaeological reference to cannabis use in a social sort of setting?
Oh, that's an intriguing question. I would think, again, going back to what is now sort of modern Taiwan, we see some references. And then the Thracians in Herodotus's The Histories are reported to have used basically thrown a bunch of tops onto these hot rocks during funerals inside a tent and sort of go in there and huff the smoke and sort of wail about the dead person. And a kind of an intriguing parallel to some of the wakes I've been to.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say those are definitely among the most ancient.
Okay. And you know, speaking of other references here, when we start to get into the more modern times, the modern prohibitions, you know, when we look in the early 20th century, they point back to some old stories, and I'm wondering how those came about. Like, for example, you kept talking about the hashish club, and I've always heard this reference in a lot of the Reefer Madness of the 30s about hash being used for assassinations, and it was used by this sort of crime unit. Where'd they come up with that?
Sure. So back around 1100 AD, there was a Muslim guy named Hassan who had this group who followed him, and they did actually are alleged to be responsible for some assassinations, but the word assassination that we're translating actually probably means follower of Hassan, not someone who smoked hash. And so that kind of mistranslation seems to be pretty prominent. And that may have actually come over from Marco Polo. There's a version of it in part of Count of Monte Cristo. So, I mean, this is a legend that goes way back. And Anslinger, of course, back in the 30s, jumped right on this as the U.S.'s first drug czar and said, oh, look, this is exactly why we know that marijuana causes aggression. Of course, you get people in the lab and give them placebo or marijuana, and they're equally aggressive. And in some cases, the placebo people are so disappointed they got placebo, they're actually a little hostile. So.
Well, okay. Now, looking back again, looking at ancient history, you mentioned the Thracians and, you know, ancient Greece. And I'm wondering, you know, I think back to all the major societies that have flourished, you know, Tigris and Euphrates area, Mesopotamia, China, Native Americans, and so on. Are there any ancient cultures where we don't find a reference to cannabis in some way?
The Eskimos, basically, folks who lived in frozen tundra, of course, couldn't grow their own cannabis too well, and were usually the last to get turned on to it, so to speak. And other than that, I'm hard-pressed.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back, too, and I can think of an example from just about every continent other than, like you say, the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, and I mean, you can certainly see why under those.
Yeah. Anything else as far as cannabis and literature, just looking here for the modern times, maybe 20th century-wise, has this been something that's been more of a U.S.-European phenomenon, or has it been worldwide in just recent times?
It's intriguing because I feel like Allen Ginsberg is probably the most modern who gets a lot of credit for it, and he wrote a really nice essay about cannabis while he was high and made, I thought, a rather compelling and emotional argument for ending prohibition under those circumstances, if not the most correctly punctuated one. And I feel like now it's almost such a given, if you will. So many folks in the arts tend to use cannabis once or twice or more in their lives that nobody seems to really make a big deal out of it anymore.
You know, interesting to discuss these kind of things, you know, to get a break away from the scientific aspects, because I think a lot of the social science aspects of cannabis are as important. I mean, you can't really separate the two. The way that our culture looks at cannabis affects whether or not the scientists even get to study it. So yeah, I'm glad we got a look at this. Dr. Mitch, thanks for this interesting look at the literature behind cannabis.
Well, as cannabis users often say, it's all connected.
It's all connected. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.